Senator Van Devere is abstaining from any action on House File 52 due to a potential conflict of interest he may have with the bill. Senator Cruz, Senator Olson. So you have Senator Olson.
She's hiding behind the post.
Good to see you again, Senator Olson. Senator Cruz moves that House File 52 be recommended to pass and place on the general orders. Senator Olson, do you have some amendments for the bill?
Yes, I do have an author's amendment. I believe Senator Cruz has as well.
Senator Cruz moves the A1 amendment. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment to the House file completes the work that a broad group of stakeholders have been doing to get agreed upon language that that closely mirrors what the law was and what the authority was before the Krumenacher case decision was handed down. And the House in their action had eliminated some language that was troublesome, and they sent it over with that eliminated, with the understanding that the agreed upon language would be ready for incorporation in our action in the Senate. And that's what the A1 amendment does.
Okay. Any further discussion on A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please.
Here.
Yes, Senator Roebling.
Oh, here, I'm sorry. I just uncovered it.
Any further discussion on the A1 amendment? None. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Amendment A1 is adopted. Senator Olson, to your bill.
Thank you. You have a good description of it, but as I indicated on Monday when we had a preliminary discussion, this legislation, it was necessary because of the Supreme Court action last late June, in the Krumenacher versus City of Minnetonka case. That, and I believe that the cities and counties have been following the interpretations of court cases for decades, and usually they have, I think, for the most part, if not entirely, been settled by the time that they got to the appellate court. And so this was a unique step going to the Supreme Court. And what they did was look very closely at the meaning, the statutory meaning of hardship, and interpreted that the hardship clause required that in order to grant a variance, there was absolutely no other use to which the property could be put. That was a very strict standard that essentially could rule out virtually all variances. And they understood that, and directed that the legislature needed to clarify this. They also pointed out that there were different standards between the county and the city. The county used practical difficulties. They did have or hardship, but hardship was usually employed when the variance request was for a use that was outside of an allowable use within a zoning ordinance, which is not allowed in the case of the municipal standards. So what this does is make the county and the municipal variance statutes consistent. And that's all it does. And it has language that just defines using the standard of practical difficulties and incorporates the current provisions that are in the statute. They look like they're crossed off. They're repeated as the language structure takes on a different arrangement. that it means that the property owner proposes to use the property in a reasonable manner not permitted by an official control, such as a setback or the regular ordinance type things. The plight of the landowner is due to circumstances unique to the property, not created by the landowner, and the variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the locality. The language, if you look to the amendment, further clarifies that that the board, and that's both in the county and the city, may place conditions on the granting of an ordinance, but the condition must be directly related to and must bear a rough proportionality to the impact created by the variance. So those are the provisions that we believe will make for a standard that it brings clarity and consistency to our standards, or to our statutes on the granting of variance, and it has a broad agreement. And I hope that you will. It does not increase any authority. It just clarifies and puts into statute what has been the practice for decades, and in a more clear and consistent manner. So I would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Senator Olson. You had some testifiers supporting?
Yes, I believe there's several that may or may not want to testify, but Craig Johnson from the League of Minnesota Cities.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Johnson. Please state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Craig Johnson, representing the League of Minnesota Cities. Want to very much thank the committee for making the time and this special situation to be able to bring this bill forward in a timely manner. Also want to very much thank Senator Olson for her work. While this bill has been sitting around for a couple of months, there's been a lot of work going on it to reach the agreement that you just adopted in the author's amendment, and we would not have been able to get there without the leadership and help of the author of the bill, so I'm very appreciative of it. The League of Cities was directly involved in bringing this legislation forward. The Krumenacher decision removed most city authority to grant variances for any kinds of property improvements that were being made. So we really did need to do that. The other aspect of the bill, and the reason that includes the county sections of variance authority in it, was to try and make those language differences, that part of which was in the Krumenacher decision listed as a reason that there was confusion about which authority fell to which type of government. This bill was made partly to sync those sections up where it was possible. Some of the authorities just are worded differently, and it is never probably going to be easy to do, but the rest of it, we thought we should avoid future confusion, since overall there's been no case made that cities and counties should not have the same types of land use planning authority and the ability to give variances. So that's what all the work was put in to get to, is an agreement on what words made that happen in a way that didn't expand authority but still restored the variance authority that we needed to restore under the because of the Krumenacher decision. So, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I am happy to answer whatever questions I can, but I can assure you that we worked very hard. It was a very broad coalition of groups that worked on this. I could run down that very long list, but I can tell you that all of the local government organizations from cities, townships, and counties were involved. I think most of the major business organizations in the state, including local chambers and the state chamber, including many of the folks you're going to see in the room today, from other business interest groups, have been very actively working to resolve this. We all need this to go forward so we can see people doing the remodeling and developing they need to be able to do in their communities, and we're anxious to see it passed. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any questions for Mr. Johnson? Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Johnson, you know, I had a chance to serve on a city council up in St. Cloud, and this decision came through just kind of as I was leaving, and oftentimes city council would require things like fencing or landscaping or hours of operation, lighting. Oftentimes we would put in special requirements there to accommodate adjoining property owners. So in your mind, does this restore the ability of city councils to do that?
Mr. Chair, Senator, very much was the intent, and that is the language that was in the amendment that we just adopted. What we took was language that is from an existing court precedence that says as long as the conditions imposed as part of the variance are directly connected to and roughly proportionate to the impacts that the variance would have, that we have that authority. But it does require, I think, rightfully so, that you have that connection, that you establish that connection as part of the variance.
Thank you.
Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, is there a definition of practical difficulties in law that we can turn to what that defines? It seems very broad, so, and I'm just wondering if there's a better definition or.
Senator Olson?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kielish, that is, as it's used in connection with this, is stated right on lines 119 through the 123.
Condition of.
And it does pick up what has been the standard before in the case on page one. That is the county, and the county had both terms in their. They had, if you'll notice on line 111, the deleted language, practical difficulties or particular hardship. Practical difficulties was not a terminology for the city, but it was for the county. But the practical difficulties has been kind of the standard. The definition of it here has been kind of the standard that has been used by the counties and frankly by the cities in granting variances up to this to the time of the court decision.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Kielash,
I'd like to offer the A2 amendment at this time. And this goes directly to something in my neighborhood that has been ongoing for, I don't know, 40 years.
Senator Kielash, to your amendment.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, on page 1, line 22, after landowner, insert.
Could we have a copy of the amendment, please? Thank you very much.
And this goes to the issue where a prior landowner divides up his lots, has one odd size, one that doesn't quite meet the building standards, then attempts to sell it, somebody else buys it with the idea that they need to get a variance before they even buy the property. And so it comes around like they created the need for the variance in the first place, and then they're going out and asking the city, county, whatever, to pick up the slack. And I'll give you an example directly from my neighborhood. Homeowner on a little grass lake pond over in southwest Minneapolis built his house, divided the back of his lot up into this very tiny lot, and every few years he's attempting to sell it with that buyer coming to the neighborhoods, the city, and asking for a variance on that property because it's not big enough to meet. You can't build anything on it because of the requirements for setback from high water marks on the pond. And you know, it's like when you create a mess and then you want a variance to fix the mess, it doesn't seem like a great way to do business. So this is just kind of one of those things that I hope solves it. It has to, you know, the Lake Association's looking at trying to get some help with that. I think it's a reasonable accommodation. So, and the idea being that if you buy a piece of property that needs a variance, you need to you realize that up front, and there's no requirement to give them a variance based on that.
Carl, would you like to respond to that?
Sure, you bet. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Peter Coyle. I'm here on behalf of the Builders Association of Minnesota and the Builders Association of the Twin Cities. In my other job, I'm a lawyer representing property owners and developers and builders around the state of Minnesota, and variances are a significant issue for them, particularly in light of the Supreme Court decision and on some level it's a jobs issue as well. To Senator Kelash's amendment, I would respectfully, on behalf of my client at least, oppose the amendment and recommend that the committee not accept it for a couple of reasons. First of all, with respect to the phrasing of the prior landowner, I would suggest respectfully that very often the issue of a variance comes up just because of a new development plan that somebody who bought the property, it may have been fully compliant at the time, but there was no reason to think that there was going to be a need for a variance until they brought forward a garage expansion, a deck expansion, adding the third bedroom, adding the bathroom. And so the language would suggest that no matter what the condition of the property was, if it was such that you couldn't bring your remodeling plan forward because it would trigger a variance, you'd never be able to get a variance. And that would go directly contrary to the intent of what is this legislation would try to reestablish as a longstanding practice of cities and counties. And so on that score, I think that that would be very problematic. The second half of the amendment, the so-called reasonable method language that's there, I would suggest respectfully is already subsumed within the body of the bill where it talks about practical difficulties. And from my point of view as a lawyer, I would suggest to you that practical difficulties already assumes that no other option can alleviate the variance. It's a practical difficulty. You've tried. You can't figure out another solution, and this is the best you can do. And at the end of the day, I would just remind you, at the end of the day, the legislative body, the elected officials for that community, have full authority to weigh the merits and the demerits of the request, and they may still say no, even if it's a reasonable proposal. So from our standpoint, this is a reasonable balancing. It reestablishes a longstanding standard that the courts had approved up until the Krumenacher decision. And frankly, I can just tell you, I saw projects that were ready to go in cities all over the state that got stopped in their tracks because cities couldn't move forward based on the Supreme Court decision. And they've been waiting now for 4 or 5 months to try to get this issue resolved. And I would just suggest respectfully that it's urgent that this move forward.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Coyle, I'm not trying to postpone this bill. I'm just trying to fix a little portion of it where somebody creates a need for a variance and then expects that, you know, they create the problem with the piece of property needing a variance in the first place and then expects the next buyer to have to go get variances that are in many cases unobtainable. And because of, like I said, high water mark in the situation that I've got here, I'm just trying to make sure that we have an out and that homeless. I do have testifiers here, if we could do that as well. From
Mr. Chair, could I just comment very briefly to Senator Kelash's comments? And certainly I understand, Senator, that your intent is to do good. I'm not resisting that at all. What I'm trying to suggest to you is that in the practical sense, it's quite typical, most frequent, that you don't even know you need a variance until you find out that you need a variance, because cities change their codes all the time. And so if I'm hearing your circumstance correctly, if in fact the current owner created a problem and knew by doing so that he or she was creating a variance situation and the buyer's purchase was contingent on resolving that variance issue, it would seem to me that that was an issue that was created by the owner of the property at that point in time, and a variance would not issue. Mm-hmm. So that situation is already addressed in statute or by the amendment that's before the committee today. And the circumstance that you're describing would seem like it would rule out any other reasonable prospect for a variance, because it would capture even the person that was unsuspecting, who didn't know until it was too late that they needed a variance. Mm-hmm. Those are my comments.
I have a couple testifiers.
To this amendment?
Yes, to this amendment, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Robley?
Senator Kelash, to this amendment, even if you wouldn't allow them to seek a variance, if they seek a variance, no one has to give the variance, right? I mean, there's no requirement that that an elected body gives the variance if they don't think that it would meet certain thresholds as far as setbacks for waterways and such, is there?
Senator Roebling, I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, I'm not sure how that works exactly. I'm not that into it, but I do have some testifiers that have look at the issue from their association's point of view and see an an issue with it, and I'd like to let them have a chance to speak to it.
Yeah.
Craig, you have a comment? Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, while they're coming up, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to say from city perspective, the variance authority is permissive. So if the local body sees something that they think is untoward or it's not passing the smell test, it feels like someone's trying to take advantage of their ability, they certainly have the authority to say, we're not going to consider a variance. They do still have to have a record that supports that decision, but they have that. It is permissive. It is not a must grant the variance if these tests are met.
So we have a testifier to the amendment. Sir, welcome, and please state your name for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, senators of the committee. My name is Chuck Diesner. I'm here speaking on behalf of an organization called the Minnesota COLA Collaborative, which, if you boil it down, represents about 40,000 property owners in 16 counties in the state. My background is, I'm a retired attorney, I think I am retired, from the city of Minneapolis. My background is specializing in real estate matters with substantial experience dealing with variances. The other thing you should be aware of is that our committee is not just a group of people in these counties that want to mess with variance laws. All of us have a substantial amount of experience. We have a former mayor. We have members of a planning commission, board of adjustments, people that have been involved in representing people on obtaining and opposing variances, people involved in working with the local governmental authorities. So we have substantial background in what we were doing. The unfortunate thing is you're hearing from us today for the first time, and all the other stakeholders are hearing from us.
Excuse me, Mr. Diesner. We're still just addressing this amendment, the A2 amendment. So if you have comments directly to that, then we can do that. And then if you want to testify completely to the whole bill, then we can come back to that in a minute.
My testimony relates specifically all related to those two changes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you, sir.
But I need to provide the committee and the stakeholders some additional information. I heard yesterday that we were being labeled as a spoiler, that we had this legislation out there, and what were we doing trying to interfere with it, and everybody's agreed. The unfortunate thing is we've been trying since January to get invited to the table with the other stakeholders, and for whatever reason, they have decided never to hear our views. So unfortunately, I need to take more time than I should have to with the committee today, and I appreciate your willingness to listen. We agree with what the cities and the counties and the Builders Association and the State Chamber have tried to do with this bill. There are certain objectives that we have heard that they have, and we agree with those. One, they feel that they need to clarify the variance laws for the cities. Absolutely. We don't quarrel with that. The cities need flexibility. No quarrel. They want to try and improve the Statsfold standards for the counties. No quarrel. We agree. They want to minimize inconsistencies between the local governmental authorities. Absolutely. They want to minimize the potential for future litigation. Totally agree. And they want the local government units to have authority over variances. We have no quarrel. So why am I here? I'm here because of the amendment that was just offered. We do not believe that the bill as drafted will, in fact, improve the Statsfold standards. I'll get to that in just a minute. What actually happens in Statsfold, it improves it in one way, because Statsfold has a standard that the last question the counties ask themselves is it in the interest of justice, to grant this variance? And that is what the Board of Adjustments have used to grant all sorts of variances that shouldn't be granted. This legislation cleans that up, and hallelujah. The thing that it doesn't do is it as take exception to what Senator Olson said. She said that the Statsfold standards are incorporated in this bill. It is not, because the amended language that we submitted in the amendment is directly from Statsfold. Statsfold had this standard that there's no, matter of fact, Statsfold standard was stricter. It said there is no feasible alternative for the need for the variance. And we softened that and said that there should be no reasonable standard. So if Senator Olson's intent was, and the stakeholders' intent was, as Mr. Coyle had testified, was this is all supposed to be part of the bill, and it's assumed in the definition of practical difficulties, then there should be no problem with putting it in a formal amendment in the law. The difficulty we have is by specifically removing it from what is the current county law, the message you are giving to applicants for variances, local government units, is it's no longer a standard. It's currently a standard now, and now you want to pass, they want to pass a bill that takes it out. I agree with Peter Cole. I'd love to have that, have his agree with him that it's subsumed in the definition. I don't agree that that is true. The Statsfold definitions of practical difficulty was adopted by the Supreme Court based on the law in New York and a number of other states. And all of those statutes have this standard. No reasonable way to alleviate the need for the variance. So we're very concerned that what they have crafted does not achieve three of their very critical objectives, and very critical objectives for us as well. We want to minimize future inconsistencies. We want to minimize litigation. We want to prevent variances from being easily obtained. And I assume the stakeholders would all agree with that. If you look at the definition in the current bill under practical difficulties, the first definition, or first part of that definition, the first standard, says something to the effect that the landowner must establish that the intent is to use the property in a reasonable manner. Okay, what does that mean? I've sat before numerous boards of adjustments. Some may agree with Peter Coyle, and they'll consider that in their deliberations. Is there a reasonable alternative to alleviate the need for a variance? So I guarantee, I suspect the majority of the counties will not even consider it because it's not there. And if it's not right in front of them, they won't consider it. Now let's, why do we care so much in terms of our organization about what this bill means? We're trying to establish a common variance standard for all properties, regardless of what type it is. What I'd like you to do is picture yourself as the neighbor to the person that's trying to get the variance. And listen to what I have to say under the current bill and what we want changed. And I think as a neighbor to somebody getting a variance, you're going to want our language. If you're not the neighbor, you could care less. If you're the neighbor, I shouldn't say you should care less. You may care. But if you're the neighbor, you really care. So let's talk about what the shortcomings are under the bill.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Nelson?
Do you have any documents that, you know, we can't really follow what you're referring to because we don't have any of those documents.
I passed out my testimony.
I don't know that I have it.
Your handout in the packet.
You should have it in the packet.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. I do have it. Never mind. Thank you. It's here.
I don't have it either. Do you?
But do you have the documents that you're referring to?
Do you have any extra copies of it?
I don't know.
documents that I'm referring to?
Yeah.
Stats full?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Nelson.
No, I don't have a copy of the case to pass out.
Okay. All right. Back to the amendment, Mr. Deesner.
Okay. One of the things that's important here, because variances are being treated equally regardless of the type of property, what the committee needs to reflect on and what the stakeholders that drafted the bill need to reflect on is lakeshore property is unique. Most of the variances in our counties are given with regard to lakeshore property. And it's shown that those variances have consequences. And the consequence basically is it degrades the quality of the water. It also reduces the nature of habitat. And the third thing it does, because you degrade water quality, you are going to lower the property values and the tax base. There's numerous studies, one out of Bemidji, that shows there's a direct correlation between water quality and property values. I live in Park Rapids, Hubbard County, and it's in my testimony here. We've had issues with our county in terms of the importance, not the Cole County, the board of adjustments, the importance of water within our county. They did a study for us, or for the county. Lakeshore property, or what they call lake or water influence property, which is lakes, rivers, and streams, comprise 37.6% of all the property in the county. So lakeshore property is 37%. Guess what it comprises in terms of the tax base? 60.6%. So if variances standards are loosened, as this bill does, you're going to degrade water quality, and the next result is the values are going to fall and the tax base in the counties are going to fall. This is one of the things that a lot of the counties are not aware of. And this is, I believe that this is an unintended consequence from what the stakeholders talked about and the changes that they want to make. And unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to hear it earlier. Now, the amendment has been offered, and so you can see all we want to do is put back two standards. One, that a current property owner is basically responsible for what a prior property owner does. Peter Coyle or Mr. Coyle gave you some examples of why that wouldn't work. But if you look at our ordinances and restrictions, if you buy a home and it's got violations, building code violations, if the prior owner built a fence on the neighbor's property, aren't you responsible? No, you are. Well, I'm sorry, I'd be happy to answer your question, but you are legally responsible for those conditions. And that should be the same with regard to a variance. When you buy property, you've all heard the term buyer beware. You need to know what your property comprises of and what you can do with it. Now let's go to the standard that there's no other feasible method to alleviate the need for the variance. We changed the feasible to reasonable. We don't understand how, if you just step back and think about it, why would we ever give somebody a variance if there's a reasonable way we can avoid giving the variance? It just doesn't make sense. And as I said, this standard is in the current county law. So the bill that was presented puts in standards for the city that they don't currently have and gives them flexibility, but it reduces the standards for the county. So you need to put that language back in as they did, because if you look at the definition of practical difficulties, but that language is from StatsFold with some definitional and wording changes.
Mr. Diesner, are you almost finished?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You are finished?
That's the good news.
Okay, you are finished or almost finished?
No, I've just got a couple more comments.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to point out to the committee that these are real life situations. I'm sure a lot of you read the article in the Minneapolis Tribune about losing our lakes. There was a series of three articles that talked about the problems in Crow Wing County because variants were being granted and given out like popcorn. We need to make sure, and the law around the country is, variances are not supposed to be easy to be obtained. They're the exception and not the rule. This bill, without the amendment, makes it easier to obtain a county variance. And that's why we need to have it changed. The other comments are more in a general way. What we're talking about doing and the changes we're asking for are consistent with what Minnesotans want the state to be doing. The citizens of Minnesota passed the Legacy Amendment overwhelmingly. And the purpose of that amendment was to deal with the water quality and nature and to grant this variance or this bill the way it's drafted is contrary to what the multitude of citizens wanted. As you well appreciate, we have a multi-billion dollar tourism industry. Can you imagine what's going to happen to that industry if the water quality gets degraded? What's going to happen to our resorts? So there are a lot of consequences to not putting the simple language in. And I submit in conclusion that Mr. Coyle, who's a well-respected attorney, says this is subsumed in the definition of practical difficulties. I suggest the easiest way for all of us to agree on that and other people who aren't sitting in the room today is to put the language in the amendment as proposed to the bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Diesner. Maybe what we'll do is let Senator Olson or Mr. Coyle respond, and then we have Mr. Cruz, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one bit of context. As a former city council member and mayor, and one who represents a Senate district with 20 cities in it, only three of which do not have lakeshore. Only three. All in Hennepin County. Our city councils are very concerned. They like this, but they are very attentive to the concerns of working toward achieving water quality. We have watershed districts. We have rules and things from DNR. I understand that they don't. The state use is also an issue, but I think that needs to be dealt with in a different way. But to assume that our local elected officials are not paying attention to water quality and the impact of making decisions that are out of line with helping to improve that water quality for these public water bodies, I think is a little bit of a rush to judgment, because I know that there's a lot of attention and that to that, which was also evidenced in the strong support for the legacy amendment that involved having money to help with trying to restore water quality where it has been diminished.
Thank you,
sir. I would like to have Mr. Coyle also respond to.
Okay. Mr. Coyle, to the amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I listened very carefully to the comments that were made by the witness, and I guess I would offer to the committee as further assurances as to the restrictions that are already placed in law and will be added by this bill. The language that's already there talks about that you need to demonstrate that you comply with the general purposes and intent of the official control. That's zoning and subdivision authority. So there's that condition. Secondly, you've got to have a use that you're proposing that's consistent with the comprehensive plan. That's a second layer of regulatory control that the local jurisdiction defines. And then thirdly, the bill imposes this new standard that's a response to the Krumenacher case, which builds on the practical difficulties language that we're talking about, and it imposes yet additional conditions on what it would be necessary for a property owner to be able to obtain a variance. And then lastly, if that's not enough, the bill retains on lines 2.6 and 7, and it also is in Section 2 of the bill as well, but it retains the existing authority of a board of adjustment in the case of a county to impose conditions in the granting of variances to ensure compliance. So there's four layers of protection there that the community in its own legislative discretion can impose on the poor property owner. And my comment on the tax valuation argument is, go to Richfield, go to any other redeveloping community that is desperate to see reinvestment occur in their community, and I would offer respectfully to Senator Kielash, if the language that's proposed by him would be adopted, it would take their efforts and it would take them backwards. I just think it would be a step too far. I don't think it's needed. The fact that the cities and the counties and the townships support the language that's before the committee in its current form, that ought to be a pretty strong indication that there is comfort level there based on their review of it, but I won't speak for them. Mr. Johnson did that. So those are my comments, and again, I appreciate the committee's time.
Thank you, Mr. Coyle. Senator Cruz, did you have a comment to this amendment?
Well, actually, I had a question, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Diesinger, thank you very much for your testimony. I really, really appreciate it. I guess a question and then a couple of comments. Could you be a little more specific for us about how you mentioned a lot about how this is going to affect the county level and county ordinances? Could you be a little bit more specific about that? I'm just not quite tracking you on that piece of your argument.
Happy to, Mr. Senator.
Mr. Diesinger.
Thank you. One, let me just run through quickly so you have a picture of what's going on in the counties right now.
Mr. Diesinger, I would just say quickly is the operative word here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Under the county ordinance, there are six standards that you have to go through, or six questions, to get a variance. What this bill does is it incorporates four of those standards. It eliminates three standards. Two of those standards are not that critical. The one that's the most critical that is currently required to get a county variance is they have to have a determination to get a variance that there's no other feasible method to alleviate the need for the variance. So the county right now, if you're going to get a variance from the county, you've got to meet that standard. It's out of the bill now. So what the counties used to have to get from people, they no longer have to. It's easier now in the county to get a variance. I don't quarrel or mean to suggest that anybody is trying to degrade water intentionally, and they're not well-intentioned. The fact of life here is we're dealing with a state law, and the state law will say if it's a reasonable use of the property and you meet the other three standards, the party's entitled to it.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Diesinger, so if I'm following you here correctly, are you essentially saying to us that county law, county ordinances, cannot be more specific than state statutes?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you pass this, the standard that the counties operate under right now, under state law, the Statsville decision, requires the determination that there isn't a feasible alternative. That's the current county requirement. It's not a city requirement. It's a county requirement.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Diesinger, so
Mr. Cruz,
this the Statsville measure.
Yes.
Have we ever voted that into statute? here at this at the state level? Has that ever been a part of our statute?
Mr. Chairman, no, it has not. It was imposed by the Statsville decision back in 2008, where the Supreme Court said the practical difficulty standard, as Senator Olson testified, is a standard by which area variances will be governed. And practical difficulties means the following six things. So the Supreme Court imposed that standard under its interpretation of the law. And so now it's a current law, but it's not in a statute.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Dietzner, I guess I have some concerns about that. I feel those of us who are at the table here with election certificates were elected, and we do represent the people, and I guess I personally feel that it's very important that we have a voice in that, and I think we are having a voice in that right now with this legislation, with the amendment to this legislation. I have some serious concerns about it, about this amendment in particular. I know that you had mentioned some concerns about, purchasing property and the effects that these ordinances may have on someone who is purchasing a property that has these ordinances on it. I sell real estate, and we have some very strict disclosure laws. So essentially anything that could potentially affect the useful enjoyment of any particular parcel of property, that has to be disclosed. That's law right now here in the state of Minnesota. So I guess I would disagree with you humbly on that a little bit. And I guess I would also say to the amendment as a whole, Senator Kielash, your example of what's going on is a perfect reason why we don't need this amendment. It's working. Right now you have a local body that is saying, no, this doesn't fit with what we want to do, so we're not going to let you do it. And you can keep trying to sell the property, and you can keep coming to us for this variance if you would like, but we're not going to give it to you. The precedent has been set, and we need to quit.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Kielash, to the amendment.
A couple of things we're talking about, respectfully, with Senator Olson's talking about Hennepin County and property values, which is one of the wealthier counties, and property values on the lake she's discussing are some of the highest in the whole state. What's going on is the counties, and the Star Tribune article pointed out, are giving variances because they're property poor. They want that piece of property built on, and in the process of doing that, there's been several, sightings like the three articles on the lakes and part of the state where the degradation because of docks, because big houses are allowed to be too close to the lake. All of that affects the water quality for the whole lake and diminishes the property values in all those lakes because clean water is higher valued and the property around it is higher valued as a result. So what I'm trying to look at here is how do we stop that kind of variance that's actually damaging to other counties, realizing the pressure that's on the counties. We're cutting back on their funding. They need to have a higher tax base, and they're being pressured to increase it. And you need to have a way to say that's, wanting a more property taxes in your county is not a reason for giving a variance.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some of our metro counties are not, this doesn't affect them,
yes,
because all of their municipalities are cities that do have their own zoning ordinances. So you're talking about county activity if they have a zoning board and function in that role are largely in greater Minnesota. These three series article, the first article was a picture of a mayor with calves. I don't know if you remember that. That's the mayor of Independence, which is in my district, and that was regarding some of the lakes in my district. We all have concerns of that. And yes, I don't get anybody complaining to me about their property taxes going down. values. We're going through an economic time that can affect everybody in different ways. But back to the point at hand, that hardship, which is the language that was removed, essentially said that there's no other use to which it could be put. That was an or in the county statute, and the rest of it was very well defined. We have currently in statute that if there are uses that are not allowed in the zoning ordinance, that you cannot use those. And that's exactly, essentially, what the hardship applies to. So I do believe that this is not going to bring about the degradation and the problems that have been set forth. I do believe that there's more work that needs to be done. I've served on the Environment Committee for more years than I like to name, although I'm not on it right now. But the challenges that our state has in terms of the regulations or the rules in affecting shoreline, that as we're looking at water quality, that needs to be dealt with. And I think this, as it affects Lakeshore and some of those issues, it shouldn't be dealt with here. This has got a broader application, and as has been pointed out, if you come in and try to solve that problem in this statute, you're going to create the unintended consequences of having the status quo of what we have now, which is not satisfactory, which the Krumenacher case called to our attention to fix, and that this proposal is intended to fix so that we can go forward and have some jobs created this summer, as people are, instead of, you know, they're not building as many new houses, but they are fixing up old ones, and sometimes that might mean legal non-conforming use that once they want to approve or slightly expand. None of that can happen. None of that can happen. And so I think we need to proceed with this legislation. And the issue that has been presented by Mr. Diesner and it has concerns needs to come back in whether it's in another form or dealing with the issue as it stands, because I'm not going to make judgments about what other counties are doing. We have elections to take care of elected officials, and if they're not doing what they should, that should be dealt with, or we need to find the appropriate mechanism to deal with it. But I don't believe it's through this provision. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any further discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no.
No. No.
Amendment does not prevail. Any further discussion on the House on House File 5-2? Senator Olson, were there any more? Senator Olson, did you have any more testifiers?
If there's anybody else that wishes to?
Is there Mr. Cashman?
Mr. Cashman, yes.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Please state your name for the tape.
My name is Michael Cashman. I'm representing what Mr. Dietzner referred to as the neighbors, and I have a handout for the committee, if I may.
Thank you. So, Mr. Cashman, I'll have to ask if you have some new information that would be helpful.
I will not. I won't say much about the prior proposed amendment. That was one of the issues that I intended to discuss. But I would like to preface my comments, Mr. Chairman, by noting, as an initial matter, that variances, the people who have testified here today, for the most part, have been those who are variance seekers. And variances exist for a reason, and that is as an extreme exception to rules, laws, regulations, which 99% of the populace abide by. So as we have indicated to the committee in a letter that was provided to all committee members, variances are to alleviate hardships, but the hardship must be real, substantial, serious, and of compelling force, as distinguished from reasons of convenience, profit, or caprice. A variance cannot be granted just because the property makes it difficult for the owner to construct a particular building or to pursue a particular use without a variance, if the owner can use or improve the land in other ways compatible with zoning restrictions. Now, with that in mind, if it's deemed that the current statute should be amended, I suggest that there are some clarifications that could be made to the statute, which would make it clear and which would be more in line with the restrictive nature of variance requests. And turning to the handout that I provided to the committee, the first one, and I should note for the record, Mr. Chairman, that I've attached comments and then a redlined copy of the bill, where the changes are indicated and where the changes we propose are indicated are highlighted for your convenience. The first recommendation relates to.
I just want to encourage you that if you have something that might, you know, if you could summarize those details, we are on a time limit, and I see you got a lot of stuff in here. So we want to give you the time to discuss these and go over them. But you have a lot of stuff here, and we need to get through with this by 2:30, hopefully. So if you can summarize that best you can, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. I will. Reasonableness is not defined in the statute, and it's a vague standard. And we suggest that the word objectively reasonable or objective be used, as opposed to that clarifies that it's not a subjective standard based on the desires of the variance seeker. We also suggest that the statute be clarified that it applies to a single variance request. In various places in the statute, there's references to variances, and in other places, there's reference to variance. We believe that all the references should be in the singular to clarify that each variance is evaluated on its own merits. Another clarifying change, one of the proposed insertions is for property owners, and in other places, landowners. Is used, and we think landowners should be used throughout to eliminate ambiguity. The one of the more notable issues on which I'd like to comment is under the practical difficulties test, the references to circumstances unique to the property. That's ambiguous, and we believe that it should be clarified. And it could be clarified by including language that's typical in most states considering the same issue, that circumstances unique to the property refers to topographical conditions, not the shape of the lot or the size of the lot and such. So we suggest that the language topographical conditions, physical conditions, be substituted for circumstances. A brief comment on the conditions created by a prior landowner. There should be something in this amendment which takes account of the fact that a landowner knows or should know about the conditions that exist. And therefore, we have suggested that the word predecessor be added to the practical difficulties test so that it is clear that it's not just a condition created by the property owner or the landowner himself or herself, but in the event of a predecessor created that condition, and it's something that the landowner knew or should have known when they acquired that property. Also, the proposed amendment, as it currently stands, does not adequately account for the interests of the adjacent property owners. And so, with respect to the essential character of the locality, that's unduly vague, and it can be remedied by adding the language we suggest, which is that the phrase "or adjacent properties" and the practical difficulties cannot be alleviated by an alternative feasible method or alternative objectively reasonable use. And then last, just as a further clarification, that the amendment or the amended statute should apply solely to individual variance requests, and that each should be treated on their own merits. We suggest that language be added that, as we've indicated, practical difficulties for any additional variance do not exist when a single variance may provide an objectively reasonable use of the property. And we believe that's very important language, because there's no reason why a multiple variances should be granted at one time when a single variance would provide an adequate remedy for the property owner. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Cashman. Senator Olson, do you want to respond? If not, we can move on to...
Mr. Chairman, I think most of the nature of that has been a part of the discussion that's led up to this point. So,
okay. Is there anyone else in the audience wish to testify for or against this bill? Yes, sir.
My name is Mark Christofferson.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Cashman. Thank you very much.
My name is Mark Christofferson, resident of Shoreview, Minnesota. Thank you for letting me testify. My wife and I have a property on a lake in Shoreview, and I've become too much of an expert in variances over the last year. And what I've learned, I guess, is all the lakes in the cities and probably out in the counties as well were developed very early on, were very misshaped, and the city code does not map well to these lake properties as they do a nice gridded city property. And my lot actually requires multiple variances. It has a high water setback, a street setback. Because my street comes in on one side, it makes what should be a side lot line, a rear lot line. So there are many cases where you need multiple variances, and I guess I'd like to testify that I think the bill as it stands today is reasonable. I've been on the other side of the variance issue too with neighbors, but I think it's reasonable. With my current situation, I've looked at what would it take to change city code. If city code were to apply to every single lot in the city, it would be unreasonable to have cities do that. And I think that's where the city can stand in and make reasonable decisions on lots such as mine. So I guess that's my comments. I'm very supportive of the bill as it is. I believe it's a reasonable bill and protects me with my current desire to improve my property as well as protect me down the road if my neighbors want to improve theirs, which they have also. Both neighbors on either side of me have sought variances in the past. For similar or different issues.
Thank you. Was it Mr. Christoff?
Mr. Mark Christofferson.
Mark Christofferson. Thank you very much. Any further? Anyone else in the audience wish to testify for or against this bill? Any further discussion for House File 52? Seeing none, Senator Cruz renews his motion that House File 52 as amended be recommended to pass and place on the general orders. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say no. Motion prevails. House File 52 as amended is recommended to pass and sent to the general, put place on the general orders. Thank you very much, Senator Olson. And
thank
Mr.
you
Cashman
very much, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Being no further business, the committee is adjourned.